Hey, good morning, and praise be to God. Yesterday we began the book of Second Corinthians, chapter 1, but somehow that message was not complete. And today I would want to complete that message so that we can be able to capture the essence. This is the best, this is the importance of having a continuous or a consistent method of speaking and studying the scripture. Now, we have discovered that the first letter to the Corinthians was a letter of reprimand and a letter of rebuke. It was a letter to get back order back into the community, back into the family, back into the children. And Paul did not hesitate to do that. It's biblical to rebuke your children. It's biblical to bring back order into the house of God. Ministers and apostles who do not bring order, they end up having a ministry that has opened doors to the world and the world to the church, and you cannot get the difference. And finally, the ministry collapses. So Paul, after rebuking and reprimanding and bringing order in chapter 1, he discovered that that God had already brought in healing in them. And now chapter 2, Paul is writing to comfort them and to ask the rest of the church to bring comfort. But he gives a very good order here that comfort comes from God. And once you are comforted, you are not comforted to just become comfortable. You are comforted so that the comfort you receive from God, you can use it to comfort others. And so Paul was comforted. He was comforted when he discovered that God had already used his harsh and painful visit to Corinth and a letter he followed to the church at Corinth. These two elements was able to break the heart of rebellious and disloyal children. And this letter we call second letter, which indeed should be the third letter, because we discovered there was a letter that was lost, was now to ask for the comforting of his son, of his rebellious sons. So this letter to Second Corinthians, once again, is good to realize, is to show how the blessings of King Jesus brings the hearts of the father back to the sons, and the hearts of the sons back to the father. The book of Malachi says that the king or the Lord would come before the final day, before the day of the Lord. The Lord will come, and one of the things he's going to do is to reconcile. He, by bringing the heart of the father back to the sons and the heart of the sons back to the father. And Malachi says, if that does not happen, God will strike the earth with a curse. Because God instituted a world, a community of believers, where the spiritual fathers are to pass on the blessing to the children, so that the children may pass it to their own children, and the children to their own children. That's how it is. The blessings of God, the comfort of God, which is one of the great blessing, is supposed to be passed on from a generation to the next generation, to the third and the fourth generation, to a thousand generation. This is how God has instituted this kind of a ministry. But you see, we have discovered that when fathers are bleeding, it's very hard for them to speak a blessing to the sons. And when father bleeds, the sons becomes barren. They become unproductive. The son cannot be able to bear spiritual blessings. And the flow of blessings stops there with the son. And so we learn that that disloyalty, which is one of the key elements from the son, one of the key element that comes from the enemy, the scheme of the devil, is to bring disloyalty from sons. And disloyalty, or a disloyal son, robs him or her one of the most important elements of life, and that is trust and obedience. Trust and obedience. I'm not talking about just blind obedience and blind trusting. No, this is biblical trusting. Jesus said he did not trust everyone, or did not entrust himself to everyone. But for relationship to continue, there must be trust. And this is well seen from the life of a father and a son, spiritual life, spiritual fathers and spiritual sons. I know this kind of a doctrine has been destroyed in some quarters, where some fathers are also abusing their privilege of becoming a father and actually taking advantage of the sons by milking them. Paul says sons are not to provide for the fathers, but fathers for the son to bring up there. So Paul says he became a father to the church at Corinth when he brought the gospel to them for 1.5 years. And he told them, though you have many tutors, you have only one father. So here, Paul brings back order. There were some people who came, who were tutors, and they were calling themselves super apostles, who injected the spirit of disloyalty. Every disloyal son gets that from another imposter, another person who comes in and let them see that your father is wrong, and they make you distance one another. So that's what had happened. And Paul wrote this letter now to bring back the order, or to say or to bring comfort to them. And this is the kind of study of what Paul says. Maybe let's listen to what Paul says from now. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. He's writing together with one of his sons. I'm writing to God's church in Corinth. These are my sons. I'm writing to my sons, because he had called them children, and to all of his holy people throughout Greece. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Now, let's look at what he says about, comfort, because this letter is about comfort. It's about healing. It's about trauma healing. His sons were traumatized because of the disorder that had gone there, and because of the rebuke that his father had given. Now he is now offering comfort to his sons and to all. He said, I praise, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. That's number one. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others, not just to be comfortable. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can certainly endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our suffering, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from the mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and we continue that he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayer for our safety. So Paul now talks about how this comfort came as a result of being comforted, and that comfort that he received from all this trouble, he's now sharing this trouble with his sons. He's sharing this comfort with his sons. He's saying, I'm comforted now. I'm healed. A healed person always speak healing to the rest. A troubled father always trouble others. When you are going through trouble, you share trouble with others. But when you go through, the healing, you share healing. Now, as a result of this, Paul decided to change his plans to go to this church. He had already, after Paul left Corinth, he went to Ephesus. He was told that these people have become disorderly. And so he sent Timothy, and they did not receive Timothy. They rebuked or they inserted Timothy. They refused to hear from Timothy. Paul took himself there, what he called the painful visits. And in that painful visit, they refused to listen to him. So he's sent another letter that we know it's lost. But with that letter, that followed his visit, he called it also a painful letter. He was so powerful, and that letter was able to bring godly sorrow in them. They changed. They repented. His sons repented by his visit, painful visit, and his painful letter, which is lost. And so Paul decided to write this second letter, what we call the second letter here now, which ought to be that letter. But this letter, he is also explaining the change of his plan, why he never went personally, but decided to write the second letter, what we are calling the second letter now, second letter to the Corinthians. Why did he decide to change this? He said, I did that so that I can spare you. I didn't want to make another visit to you. I knew my coming to you with another painful visit would crush you. But because God had already healed me, I decided to change my plan. So look at verse 12. We can say this with confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own wisdom. That is how we have conducted ourselves before the world, and especially towards you, my son. I'm adding emphasis. Our letters, we have straightforward. Our letters have been straightforward. And there is nothing written between the lines and nothing you can't understand. I hope someday you fully understand us. Even if you don't understand us now, he's making some clear why they don't understand. Then on the day when the Lord Jesus returns, you'll be proud of us in the same way we are proud of you. Oh my God, what a father. He is saying that even if you don't understand now, one day you will understand. And he also say, even the day of the Lord, even if you don't understand now, sons who get wounded and get lost because of other imposters, one day before the coming of the Lord, they'll understand and they'll give glory to God. And they'll be proud of their father, just as Paul says, I was proud of you. Now, then he says why he changed the letter. Since I was so sure of your understanding and trust, I wanted to give you a double blessing by visiting you twice. First, on my way to Macedonia, and again, when I returned from Macedonia, then you could send me on my way to Judea. You may be asking why I changed my plan. Do you think I make my plans carelessly? Do you think I am like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is faithful, he calls to God's faithfulness, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one who say who he is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preached to you. And as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascending to God for his glory. And he says, it is God who enables us along with you to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised. Now, I call God as my witness that I am telling you the truth. The reason I did not return to Corinth was to spare you from a severe rebuke. But that does not mean we want to dominate you by telling you how to put your faith into practice. We want to work together with you so that you will be full of joy, for it is by your own faith that we can stand firm. So Paul here is saying why he changed the plan. Initially, he wanted to go to Corinth because he was in Ephesus. As he was going to Macedonia, he wanted to go through Corinth and bless them. And when he was coming from Macedonia, he came back through Corinth. But when he decided that his first letter, which is lost, was so severe, he thought it was not, and even his visit he had made, that was so severe, he decided that he would not go back because he did not want to rebuke them again. He wanted to withhold the rebuke. And so we discover there's a time we need to know what to do with the rebuke, and we'll be talking about that in the next session. And so, dear people, I want you to know that God has instituted that we be connected to our fathers. Everybody has got a father. Everybody ought to have a father. And everybody ought to become a father one day, so that you can be able to pass on what was passed on to us. So let's come back together. Let's bring healing to each other. And that way, we'll be able to bring glory to God. Father, we thank you because of the painful incidents we go through and the way you are able to comfort us so that you can comfort others with the comfort we receive from you. Help us to be a comfort today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.